time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes. I'm excited to dive into another hour's worth of sports happening inside of the Mitten as Michigan has been popping over the last couple of days in the sports world. We're going to dive into what's happening with our Pistons, catch up with them in the NBA playoffs, touch in on our Tigers, who, quite frankly, have been slipping, and a lot has been happening inside of Comerica Park, and even a little bit of Lions action as we have a schedule release now for the impending 2026 season. And then, of course, we'll get into our picks to end out the show. I had a fantastic week. I mean, it's been a long one. Don't get me wrong. I am exhausted. I'm excited to, you know, sit and watch a bunch of sports this weekend, and hopefully our Pistons can pull out another Game 7 victory. Well, first I got to win Game 6 as I'm recording this on Friday, and then hopefully a Game 7, win them both, and find themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals. Tons of lacrosse for me to watch this weekend as well. College lacrosse in the thick of their NCAA tournament as their quarterfinals are this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The pro leagues are both in fashion. I mean, the outdoor league week two last week was opening week, a fantastic opening week. My favorite team, the Redwoods out in California, were able to come out with a big time victory, hoping that they're able to grab another victory this weekend. And then also the indoor professional league is in their finals. Their three game series popping off between the Toronto Rock and the Halifax Thunderbirds starts Friday night, as you guys are listening to this on Saturday, so it was last night, and then game two will be on Sunday, possible game three the following weekend. So I am feeling great. I'm looking forward to what is coming up for the next couple of weeks and how I have tons to look forward to. So hopefully you guys had a fantastic week and you are looking forward to all the sports that we have coming up excuse me, this weekend. But now that we've gotten through the obligatory long talk intro, it's time for us to talk about our Pistons. Our Pistons are in quite bad shape right now. They started this semifinals in the Eastern Conference against the Cleveland Cavaliers very well, winning 111-101 and then 107-97 before things started to get a little dicey for them starting in game three, which was last Saturday. That's where we'll pick up our talks. Cavs ended up winning this game 116-109. Cade Cunningham, phenomenal in this game, had a triple-double. 27-10-10, 10 of 27 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 8 turnovers in 39 minutes of play. The Pistons shoot 45-36-82 in their splits, which 90% of the time, that gets you a win with those splits. But in the playoffs, when you have 16 turnovers, that's not going to help you out there. 40 rebounds. They led for 18% of the game, largest lead being just 7. Meanwhile, for the Cavs, Donovan Mitchell, a double-double himself with 35-10, 13 of 24 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. James Harden, 7 assists, 3 turnovers in 40 minutes. The Cavs shoot 58-38-64 in their splits, 15 turnovers, grabbed 33 rebounds, led for 75% of the game, their largest lead being 17. That was their first win of the series. And, well, let me tell you, they haven't really looked back since then. That was a pivotal game for them, that game three. Really, if the Pistons were able to take that and steal it, you probably could call this season over. There's no telling if, you know, maybe the Pistons sweep, and even if they don't, there's a good chance the Pistons come back home in game five, Little Caesars Arena, up 3-1, and they give them a gentleman sweep 4-1 on their way out the door. But obviously, let me tell you, that didn't happen, as a lot of you know out there. Game four was the next one that was on the docket for us. And once again, Cleveland Cavaliers come out on top, 112-103. Donovan Mitchell had a phenomenal game scoring the ball. 43 points for Spida, 13 of 26 from the field, 13 of 15 from the free throw line. Evan Mobley, 8 rebounds. James Harden, 11 assists, 2 turnovers, 37 minutes of play. Cleveland shoots 44-34-88 in their splits. only 15 turnovers, grabbed 33 rebounds, led for 62% of the game, their largest lead being 21. The Pistons, who crawled back in this game, got, I mean, outstanding play from Caris LeVert. 24 points, 10 of 16 from the field, only had one free throw, but knocked it down. Tobias Harris, 8 rebounds. Cade Cunningham, 6 assists, 5 turnovers in 39 minutes. Pistons, 51, 43, 75 in the splits. 20 turnovers, 35 rebounds, led for 31% of the game, largest lead being 7. Mitchell tied an NBA playoff record with 39 points in the second half to push the Cavs to victory in this game 4. So now the series is all knotted up at 2 after 4 games. Everybody knows how pivotal game 5 is. I think it's some like 72% of all teams that win game 5 go on to win the series when it's been tied. And that's a pretty significant case. We're talking just over 7 out of 10 teams go on to win the series if they win game 5 after it was tied. So you would imagine that the Pistons coming home, going back to Little Caesars Arena, they would be feeling good. The fans would be there. It would be rocking. It would be loud. They would play well. All of these things are true. But you also would think that they would get the home whistle, right? Because they're at home and that's what happens. Well, no, that is not what happened in this game at all. In fact, this game ended up going to overtime because many people feel there was a critical missed call at the end of this game, which we'll touch on in just a few moments. Going to give the rundown as always. Cavs win this game in overtime, 117-113. Cade Cunningham, 39-9. 13 of 27 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 6 turnovers to go with those assists, 48 minutes on the game. Paul Reed had 8 rebounds. Pistons, 44-33, 90 in the splits, 15 turnovers, 40 rebounds, led for 69% of the game, largest lead 15. Meanwhile, the Cavaliers, James Harden arose from the dead, 30 points for the guy, grabbing buckets on the day for game 5, 8 of 21 from the field, 11 of 14 from the free throw line. Jared Allen had 10 rebounds. Evan Mobley, 8 assists, 4 turnovers in 43 minutes. Cavaliers, 45, 40, 82 in their splits. 17 turnovers, 44 rebounds, 24% is what they led in the game, and they led by just 7 for their largest lead. Now, late in this game, literally like just as clock was expiring, Ausar Thompson made a phenomenal play. He was guarding Donovan Mitchell, defending him, playing well. Donovan Mitchell made a great move, gets by him, and then here comes Ausar Thompson doing what Ausar Thompson does, not giving up on plays, making a great defensive play that they needed when they needed it. Quick hands, slaps down on the ball, loose ball comes. He's now tracking it down. He gets there. He tries to corral the ball, and at the same moment, he's kind of pushed, tripped, fallen into by Jared Allen. Many people feel it should be a foul. Many people feel it shouldn't be a foul. At the end of the day, referee Tony Brothers decided to not call the foul, waived the game or the clock dead, effectively ending regulation and sending the game to overtime. Ausar Thompson, disbelief. Pistons and Piston fans, disbelief. JB Bickerstaff, irate, on the court, couldn't believe what he was seeing with his eyes. And many people are wondering, why wasn't that call made? Should it have been made? Was it a good no call? We'll never really know. We'll be able to debate it for literally until the end of time. But at the end of the day, the call wasn't made. That's what happened. And a good point a lot of people are making is Ausar Thompson's not a great free throw shooter. Ausar Thompson shoots the ball free throws this year at a 52% clip. So there's no guarantee that he was going to make these free throws. Now, granted, they only needed one to go on and win the game, but a lot of people feel ways about referees deciding games and making tic-tacky or, you know, bang-bang calls in this moment of the game with that much time left. So that may have been in the back of Tony Brothers' mind, and that may be the reason why he decided not to call it, or maybe he just didn't see a foul. Maybe he saw something completely else, something completely different within the play, and that is why he made the call he made. We will personally never know what was going on inside of his head and why he did or didn't make the decisions that he decided to or decided not to make. So we got to move on and push forward knowing that the Cavs won that game, giving them a 3-2 series lead, setting them up for game seven or game six, as you guys know, was Friday night last night. As you guys are listening to this, I'm going to talk a little bit through this. They gave the Pistons a 53.4% chance to win, a 46.6% chance for Cleveland. I would imagine that's because they know that the Pistons feel like they have their back against the wall, literally and figuratively, and they have to go out and win. And also, if you were paying attention to any of the post-game pressers from the last game, Cade Cunningham made it very clear. He's like, look, you know, things happened tonight. We, you know, was it a call? Maybe it should have been, but we shouldn't have left it up in the hands of the referees. And we've been here before. Just in the last series, we had our backs against the wall. We had to crawl up off our knees. We had to win a couple games in a row and force a game seven and get into the final, into the next round. And we were able to do it. And he's like, look, we got to do it again. We got to go out and win game six. We got to go out and win game seven. There's nothing else that can be said about it. And I love that energy from Cade Cunningham. Not only is he a leader, not only is he a baller, not only is he ready to go, but he's absolutely locked in, understanding that at the end of the day, the only thing I can control is the next game in front of me. The only thing I can do right now is focus in on game six and figure out how I can help my team be victorious and successful in game six so that we can have a game six, seven and try and move on to the Eastern Conference Finals and continue to fight for our right for an NBA championship. But until you have the mentality, you can't do that. Hopefully Duncan Robinson is back. Him being sick for this game was a huge deal. Huge deal. Him playing in this game maybe makes up for some of this. You have some scoring, some defensive ability, some effort that you don't have on the floor before. So I really think there were some circumstances around this game five that kind of put a little bit of an asterisk, blemish, circle mark around it. But the Pistons are geared forward, looking forward, knowing, hey, our season could be over. If we don't go out and show up for the 48 minutes that are about to go on the clock in this game six, we won't be playing another 48 minutes again until we get around to, October. He wants to keep playing, and I imagine a lot of Pistons want to keep playing, and hopefully the fans that have the means to get down to Cleveland on Friday night, last night, as you guys were listening to this, were able to make that trip and were able to enjoy and make it loud and show some support for the Pistons to give them a little extra oomph to get over the hump. I mean, this Pistons team was so good this year in the regular season. The first round was exhilarating to watch. I want to continue to see them play, but there's no guarantee that they're going to be able to get out of Rocket Arena with a victory. The books have the Cavs as a 4.5-point favorite. The over-under sitting at 210.5. -175 on the money line for the Cavs, but not far behind is a +145 for the Pistons. So they're not putting it too far out of the line for the Pistons, as they do have some game-time decisions they have to look at. Duncan Robinson, Kevin Huerter, and Caris LeVert all with back, thigh, and heel injuries, respectively. But that three-game win streak for the Cavs, really daunting on the Pistons. They have to go out and win this game if they're going to come out victorious and move on. So hopefully I didn't just talk about a whole bunch of nothing that won't mean anything next week. Or maybe I just talked about a whole bunch of something that means something for last night and then means nothing for Sunday, because I go out and lose game seven that would be on Sunday at Little Caesars Arena. And then it all means nothing anyway. So as I'm saying all of that and babbling, it really just means I have nothing else to talk about with the Pistons. All we can do is hope, pray, cheer on, and give our all for the Pistons to continue to have success and continue to play on in this season. But when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about the Pistons again next week, regardless of what happens. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about our Tigers over in Comerica Park here on Mid Madness on 95.3.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Well, if you answered yes, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care. Because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you think an MP3 is a computer virus, it's okay. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and now it's time for us to turn our direction over to Comerica Park, as we're going to talk about our Tigers and what's happening over there. The baseball team, well, it is sliding and not into home base. It is home plate. My bad, y'all. It is sliding in the wrong direction, like mudslide slide. But you know where we're going to start? We're going to start with the standings, as always. Looking at the Central Division within the American League, the Guardians still atop at 24-21. One game behind them are those White Sox out of Chicago, 22-21. Twins, 3.5 games back at 20-24. At 19-25 are both the Tigers and the Royals. The Tigers currently sit one spot above them in the tiebreaker, and they're 4.5 games back from the Guardians. When you look at the league overall, that has severely dropped the Tigers down. They are fifth from the bottom. That's a lot easier than trying to count down from the top, where the Rays are at the top at 28-14. The Yankees, two games behind them at 27-17. There goes those Guardians, 5.5 games behind the Rays. 6.5 games back are the Oakland Athletics and the White Sox, both 22-21. Then the Mariners and Rangers, 22-23, 21-22. Respectively, are 7.5 games back. The Orioles and Twins, 9 games back, at 20-24. And then the Blue Jays, 9.5 games back at 19-24 before you hit the Tigers and Royals at 19-25. Overall, Tigers are really sliding down to the bottom of the league. They're 11 games behind the lead. The lead is the Braves, who are 30-14. They're one game above the Rays and two games above the Cubs, who are 28-16. And then three games above the Yankees. The Dodgers, four games back, 26-18. That's the top five in the MLB. Turning our attention back over more directly to our Tigers. Looking at our batting leaders, they haven't changed. Riley Green is still leading the team in batting average at .331. His on-base percentage at a .426 and a slugging percentage of .490. Meanwhile, home runs, Dylan Dingler is still jacking them things. He's got 8 of them on the year, a .241 on the batting average, and he's batted in 28 RBIs. Those 28 RBIs also lead the team. When we look over at the pitching, some things have changed up. The ERA category is slightly different. Keiter Montero now leads the squad, a 3.65. He's got 2 wins on the year and 31 strikeouts. The wins category, led by Brent Herter. He's got 4 wins on the year. His ERA, 1.66. He's got 15 strikeouts. And then Tarek Skubal, he leads the team with 45 strikeouts, an ERA of 2.70. And he's got 3 wins on the year. Don't ask me how Keiter Montero's leading the earned run average category with a 3.65, and we just heard that Herter and Skubal both have lower numbers than that. I'm just reading what's on the statistical pages and who they're telling me the leaders are. So if you know more about baseball and can give me a little bit of knowledge on why that may be the way it is, hit that chat feature on the 95.3 The Ticket app. Let me know, and then I'll be able to accurately explain that to fellow others out there. Mets, which we'll get into in just a moment before I tell you about these team stats. Runs, 183, tied for 20th in the league. Batting average of .242, good for 13th. Their on-base percentage of .324, good for 12th, along with their slugging percentage at 3.89, which is also 12th in the league. On the pitching side, the ERA of 4.07 is 14th in the league. Their quality starts of 18 is tied for 5th. Their whip of 1.33 is good for 17th. And their opponent batting average of .243 is 19th in the league. Now, over to what has happened the last week or so. The Tigers have, well, kind of been getting it handed to them over the last couple of games. Look back at the series that started last Friday. The Royals on the road. Tigers had to go out, go down there to Kansas City, try and come out with a couple victories, and it did not look great for them. Game one was a 4-3 loss for Herter. Urseg picked up the win for the Royals. Saturday was a 5-1 loss. Watcha picks up the win. Smith picks up the loss. And then the Pistons win in game three of that series on Sunday, 6-3. DeJesus picks up a victory. Mears picks up a loss for Kansas City. That was the first win in 5 games for the Tigers. They were riding a 5-game win streak or losing streak into that Sunday game, which, I mean, hey, shout out to the mothers for the Tigers. They were able to will their sons to victory on Mother's Day. They were given a present of a victory because, man, they would have sucked to pick up their sixth loss in a row. But then they turned around and said, hey, Mom, I gave you everything I had on Sunday. So what do you get? You get swept by the New York Mets in your middle week series. They lose 10-2 in game two. Mind you, this game, these games are on the road at Citi Field. The Tigers have struggled on the road early on in this MLB season. And then it's 3-2 and 10. So they went to extras in game two on Wednesday, and they picked up another loss there. Flaherty picked up the loss in the Tuesday game one loss. Anderson picks up the loss in game two on Wednesday. And then 9-4 loss on Thursday. Montero picks up that loss as well. So once again, back to the losing streak. This one, for now, only at 3 because it just restarted after the win on Sunday. But a lot more losses here than wins. There were a couple short wins, winning streaks earlier in the season, but those have kind of fizzled out as we've made our way through the progression of the early part of this first half of the season. And they still have a plethora of series to go, and they're not really going to get easier. You know, this upcoming weekend, as you're listening to this on Saturday, they're in the midst of a series against the Toronto Blue Jays, who have looked okay this year, if I'm not mistaken. Going to pull them up here. Blue Jays are 19-24, so actually they're right in the wheelhouse of the Tigers. This is a series they need to win. These are games they need to stack on and show that they can start to progress and be better than teams that are in their realm so that they can start to progress and really stack some wins. But then you have an extremely tough four-game series popping off immediately after this. Luckily, all these games are at Comerica Park. But for the weekend series and then the week series that starts on Monday with Cleveland is also at Comerica Park. It's a four-game series Monday through Thursday. Then the following weekend, this is like 10 days straight, if not longer, of baseball. They haven't had a break since Monday. They played Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're playing last night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, before they get another break on the following Monday, which will be Memorial Day. But they have to take on Baltimore over the weekend, over next weekend, which, if I'm not mistaken, Baltimore has looked good as well. I mean, they're 20-24, so middle pack as well. So, I mean, hear me out here. There is a space for the Tigers to kind of catch their breath here and really make some strides. Say that in a dream world, a miraculous world, the pitching continues to be better than average, and then the bats wake up. You sweep Toronto in this weekend series. Maybe you're able to steal two. And I mean, in a great series, you get 3 out of Cleveland. And then you go on and you sweep Baltimore. That puts you in great space. You're above 500. You have to be feeling good about yourself and feeling like you're getting back in a rhythm. And the only reason I say that's plausible is because Cleveland is the one tough series you have here, but it's sandwiched between two series that are more against caliber teams of your caliber, teams you can compete against, teams that are having the same struggles as you. And you're able to really, if you can grasp those ones and really lock in for those, pick up 2 sweeps there. I mean, that's 6 wins right there. And even if you lose the 4 in between, you're 6-4 within a 10-day stretch. That is fantastic. That is what you want. That is how you start to stack wins. That is how you start to have more success across the table, is by showing that you can go out and win games against teams that are against your caliber or worse. Even now, to add to that, it gets even better if you can steal a game or two in Cleveland, maybe even 3. So now, instead of going 6-4 in that stretch, you're 7-3, 8-2, 9-1. And I mean, God forbid you catch heat. I mean, not God forbid. We want that to happen. Crazy world, you catch heat. You win 10 games in a row. And instead of being 19-25, you're now 29-25. You're 4 games above 500. And now you can start to say, hey, I think we're finding our groove. I think we know what's working for us. Let's continue to do what we're doing and continue to progress up the season. And then also, you know, the Angels, who haven't been great of the last couple of years, who are 16-28. They follow up the Baltimore series. Then you have a tough interdivision series with the Chicago White Sox on the road at that terrible Guaranteed Rate Field before you got to go down to Tampa Bay. Then you see Seattle, Minnesota, Cleveland, Houston, the White Sox again, this time at Comerica Park, Yankees, Houston, Yankees, Texans, Athletics, Philadelphia, and that's the rest of the first half of the season. So there's some tough, tough battles in here. I mean, the A's look great this year. The Philadelphia Phillies look great so far this year. The Yankees are the Yankees. Of course, they're going to be good. You know, Cleveland has been a thorn in our side recently. Minnesota gave the Tigers the work earlier in this season. Tampa Bay, one of the best teams in the MLB right now, second for record in the entire MLB right now. These are tough series, but there are winnable series mixed in there. Like I said, Toronto, Baltimore, Los Angeles. I even think the White Sox, both of those times that they play them, are winnable series. You got to go out and win some of these series that are mixed in between that are going to help you stay around 500 or better, because these tough series against the Yankees, the Rangers, the Astros, the Twins, the Guardians, those are tough series that are going to make it hard for you to win. The Rays. So you have to go out and win the ones that you're supposed to win. Tigers having some struggles with that right now, but some great opportunities to get into the mix. We'll pop back again next week to talk more about our Detroit Tigers on the diamond inside of Comerica Park. But when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about our Lions here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're continuing our run through the state of Michigan and the sports on an hour-long show. And it's time for us to talk about the Lions, because football season is on the horizon. It is on its way back. And the schedule release for the 2026 NFL season for each individual team has been announced. And some teams are obviously going to like their schedule more than others. Some are going to complain. Some are just going to be normal fans and understand it's on a rotation. You play full divisions. You play based off of where you landed the season before. And that is just the way things work out. So if you don't like your schedule, either play better or play worse to make it, you know, even itself out within the coming years. But with that being said, let's dive head deep into the upcoming season for the Lions. They're going to open up at home this year. That will be September 13th, 1 p.m. Game will be on Fox against the New Orleans Saints. And then they'll go on the road for Thursday night football, 8:15 p.m. on Prime Video against the Bills on September 17th. Then on September 27th, which I'm pulling up a schedule just to be calendar just to be sure, a Sunday, they'll take on the Jets at Ford Field, 1 p.m. on Fox. Then the following Sunday, they would take on the Panthers for Sunday Night Football on the road at 8:20 p.m. on NBC. And then the following Sunday, they're going to be on the road against the Cardinals in Arizona, 4:25 p.m. on Fox. Then they get a home game on the 25th. So they'll have a bye week on the 18th of October. They'll play October 25th at home at Ford Field against the Packers, 4:25 p.m. on Fox. The following Sunday, they'll be home against the Vikings at Ford Field, 1 p.m. on Fox. Then they go on the road on the 8th of November, 1 p.m. Fox against the Dolphins. Then they'll play 9:30 a.m. for an international game across the seas against the New England Patriots on November 15th. November 22nd, 1 p.m. CBS against the Buccaneers at home at Ford Field. They will be the home team against the Patriots in that international game as well. Then they get another home game on the 26th, which is Thursday Night Football, and is also, yes, November 26th is Thanksgiving this year against the Bears, 1 p.m. And then they will play again on December 6th. So they get the bye week, obviously, or the extended break week, and play the Sunday, December 6th, on the road at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium down in Atlanta against the Falcons, 1 p.m. CBS. Then they're home against the Titans on December 13th, where they will play at 1 p.m. Fox at Ford Field. Then they go on the road against the Vikings on December 20th. They're going to be Sunday Night Football again on NBC up there in Minnesota. And then they will take on the Giants on the 28th, which is going to be Monday. I don't know why they're playing on a Monday. Oh, psych. Special me. Sorry, guys. That's such a lapse there. Monday Night Football, 8:15 p.m. ESPN against the Giants on December 28th. That's going to be a home game at Ford Field. Then they go on the road January 3rd, 4:25 p.m. to Soldier Field, maybe, possibly. Who knows what's happening with the Bears and where they will be playing their home games. 4:25 p.m. on Fox on January 3rd against the Bears. And then their last game will be a divisional game against the Packers at Lambeau Field. It is to be determined because obviously that last week is always flexed. So the best games get the best slots. And we'll find out later on where that game or what time that game will be played. But last year, the Detroit Lions finished their season at 9-8, which really set them up to play some favorable teams. So let's see who all is on the docket for these teams. Going to do some phenomenal podcasting for you guys here. So we have AFC. Under the AFC, we have the West, North. And let's see who the Detroit Lions are playing this upcoming season. In the NFC East, they have the Saints. In the AFC East, they have the Bills. I believe the Giants are also in the AFC East. I want to double check that. They are. Or the Jets, excuse me. Jets in the AFC East. NFC South, or sorry, the East is not the Saints, that's the South, along with the Panthers. The Cardinals are the NFC West. And then obviously you have the Packers twice, Bears twice, Vikings twice for the NFC North. The Dolphins are in the AFC East as well. Patriots are in the AFC East. So they all play the entire AFC East. NFC South with the Bucks and Falcons all play the entire NFC South. Titans are in the AFC South. So one there. These Giants are in the NFC East. Oh, okay. So they have one team from the NFC West, South, and East outside of the entire NFC or the AFC South, and then the NFC West and East all have one team added to the schedule, and those are all fourth-place teams for the Lions. Those teams are the New York Giants, the Tennessee Titans, and the Arizona Cardinals. So, to me, those are favorable matchups. I also like this schedule a lot for the Lions. I mean, a way too early run-through, which I'll do again later on closer to the season. I think the Lions have the matchup against the Saints. I think it helps that they're at home. The quick turnaround for both the Bills and the Lions will be interesting. That game being on the road in September will be interesting, but there is slightly warmer weather at that time. There's no snow on the ground, so the ground game and the run game will be able to go for both. I think it'll be a shootout, and the team that has the ball last will win, so we'll leave that as a maybe. I think the Lions are better than the Jets. I think the Panthers are a maybe. I think the Lions are better than the Cardinals. I think they will split with the Packers and the Bears this year. I do think they're better than the Vikings. I'll give them the sweep over the Vikings. I think they're better than the Dolphins. I think they lose to the Patriots. I think they're better than the Bucks. I think they're better than the Falcons. I think they are better than the Titans. They're better. I think they lose to the Giants. So they're somewhere around, what's that, like 11-6, 10-7, 12-5, somewhere around there. I think they have a very good bounce back season based off of, you know, what we've seen the last couple of years from them. They have struggled this last year, but they did make some significant moves within the offseason. They did plan on, you know, getting back to the run game, but also in a different way, as Cliff Kingsbury, I believe, is the new OC. We went through that a while ago. You guys know exactly who the new OC is. As you guys know, I'm also a Packers fan, so I'm not as deeply invested into the Lions as you guys are. So there's some things that go over my head that I forget, because most of the time I'm locked in on the Packers and what that's going to look like. But off the metrics of what I just said, being somewhere between 10-7, 11-6, and 12-5, you got a couple possibilities. For one, 90% of the time, those records are getting you into the playoffs. So there's a good chance the Lions are returning to the playoffs this year, in my opinion. And I think there's a good chance that they have a chance to advance within the playoffs as well. Not a lot has changed on this team, but they made the right moves, and they have some new changes within the coaching room that could really help this offense and defense propel to the position that they would like to be in. But then another possibility is that they are winning the NFC North. They're claiming that NFC division title once again, and then they're hosting a playoff game, which, again, is another huge advantage for them, especially with how loud Ford Field can get, especially with how much they love football here, and they're all aching to see the Lions get over that hump, break through, and win a Super Bowl, something that the franchise has never done. They have NFL championships, but they don't have Super Bowls. And then lastly, you could possibly find yourself as the number one team in the NFC. So there's a lot that could happen, but I do like what's poised for the Lions in this upcoming season. That's all we have for the Lions talk as of today. When we come back from the break, we'll be getting into our picks. Some more Men Madness coming your way here on 95.3. Welcome back to Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we are trumbling along through the show. We're almost through this hour, and it's time for us to get into one of my favorite parts of my favorite part of the show. It's the picks. And the best part about the picks is that you guys are able to play along anytime you would like to and see if you know ball better than I do. All you have to use is the chat feature within the 95.3 The Ticket app. Picks came along a while ago. When Jacob was here, we would go back and forth and talk about what we think would happen in games and decide who would win, who would lose, and we would stack up games and, you know, have a little friendly competition. And by the way, Jacob still owes me lunch for that friendly competition or dinner or whatever he wants to give me, because he lost twice. I tied him once, and he did not win at all. So I am 2-0-1 in my picks career against someone else, while Jacob, well, he's still sitting at 0-2-1. If you guys want to get in on the action and see if you know ball better than I do, which, I mean, I'm bragging on myself a little bit, but not too much, you know, not to toot my own horn or anything, but I kind of know ball. I think I've done okay. I've yet to go below 500. I've yet to lose. So I think that's pretty good metrics on me. I think I look good. What do you say? Maybe I go down in the Hall of Fame of pickers, but I want to see what you guys have. So make sure you have your chat feature open in the 95.3 The Ticket app. You listen to the games that we pick, the matchups, whatever the case may be, as it will always be six or more of them, giving you an opportunity to see how well you know ball. I'm going to do my deliberation, my research, my thoughts, and share all of the knowledge I have about ball and everything else and why I'm going to be right and maybe you should agree with me and maybe you shouldn't. And then I'll submit my picks and tell you what they're going to be. And then I'll send you off into your weekend to enjoy it. But the cool thing is, once you get done listening, you can do your own research, your own deliberation, your own knowledge, divvy through all of it and decide why I was wrong, why you're going to be right, and why the picks that you have are better than mine. Drop them in the chat feature in the 95.3 The Ticket app, and then we'll see if you know ball better than I do. And if you do, maybe we'll have a little something special for you. I won't even say maybe. We will have a little something special for you, but you got to play along. You got to get in on that chat feature, the 95.3 The Ticket app. Share those picks and show that you know ball better than I do. With that being said, there are six games loaded up on the picks this week. WNBA action is back and alive. That lets you know the summer is right around the corner. We're going to dive into that to end out this pick segment. We're going to start on the football gridiron with the UFL. We got two games. First one's going to be Saturday, May 16th, later today. That's noon on ABC. The defenders from D.C. will be taking on the Louisville Kings. The Kings are 3-4. They're going to be the home team. Meanwhile, the defenders are 5-2. The defenders come in as 5.5-point favorites. The over-under sits at 45.5. Defenders, who are 5-2, tied for first place in the league after losing last week, which is a tough loss for them. That was their first loss in five games. They won five games in a row and were cruising before that loss, which drops them down, gives them that one loss on the year. The St. Louis Battlehawks really starting to catch heat here. After they've won three in a row, they're also tied with the Orlando Storm. But the positive for the defenders is they have 209 points for, only giving up 135, gives them a plus 74 score differential, the best in the league. Meanwhile, the Louisville Kings sitting in the middle of the pack at 3-4 with the Birmingham Stallions and the Dallas Renegades. The Kings, 153 points for, 139 points against, plus 14. So these are two of the better defenses in the league. In fact, the Kings are tied for third with the Battlehawks. Defenders sitting in second, only behind the Storm, who have only given up 120 points so far this season. But the advantage in this game, in my opinion, goes to the defenders, because the defenders are the highest scoring team in the league at 209 points, and it's not even close. The next highest scoring team is 50 points behind at 159. It's the St. Louis Battlehawks. So clearly the defenders have something going on either one side of the ball, both sides of the ball, all over the place. They're playing well, and I'm going to get them to continue winning in this fashion, taking this game over the Kings. Our last game in the UFL is going to be happening Sunday, May 17th, tomorrow, 1 p.m. on Fox. The Aviators will be visiting the Birmingham Stallions. The Aviators are 2-5 this year. The Stallions are 3-4. Stallions come in as 3-point favorites, 46.5 on the over-under. We just talked about the Stallions being in that middle pack. They're negative 30 on the score differential, though. 134, 164, but they've won two games in a row, and they're starting to really catch their groove. The Aviators, they're 2-5. They're 150, 174, negative 24 in that score differential. They're on a one-game losing streak, and that is kind of the decider here for me. I was really going to kind of take my chances with the Aviators for a second. You know, looking at this metrics, they score, you know, a little bit more than the Stallions. Granted, they give up a little bit more. I mean, they give up 10. They've given up 10 more points than the Stallions have, but they've scored 15 more points than they have. But the two wins in a row, even when you're not scoring a lot of points, that momentum adds. You don't care how you win games. You just want to win them. And right now, the Stallions are winning. And I think they're going to continue to win because that energy is infectious and continues to steamroll and snowball. So I'm going to take the Stallions as well, which is going to get us over onto the hardwood in the women's game in the WNBA for the first time this year. The Las Vegas Aces will take on the Atlanta Dream. The Aces are 2-1. They're 2-0 on the road. This game will be at 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, NBC and Peacock for your viewing pleasure. Atlanta Dream are 2-0. They haven't played a home game yet. The Aces are led by Aja Wilson. She's got 20 points, 6.3 rebounds. Jackie Young with 6 assists. Meanwhile, the Dream, led by Alicia Gray, 25 points. Angel Reese averaging 15. 15 rebounds. And then they got Jordan Canada with 5.5 assists per game, only 2.5 turnovers in 29 minutes. Jackie Young, 27.7 minutes and only 1.3 turnovers as well. They're giving the Aces a 43.5% chance to win this game, a 56.5% chance for Atlanta at the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. As I said, this is their first game of the year. Dana Evans, Janiah Barker are both out with leg and head injuries, respectively, for the Aces. Breonna Jones out with a knee injury for the Dream. First of three matchups for these teams this year. Aces averaging 89, almost 90 points per game, giving up 82. Meanwhile, the Dream averaging 84, only giving up 81. Grabbing 45 rebounds, 17.5 assists, 4.5 blocks, 7 steals. Meanwhile, for the Aces, 37.3 rebounds, 22.7 assists, 8 blocks, 8.3 steals. In their last five, which includes some preseason work, they took down Japan, LA, and Connecticut, but they lost to Phoenix and Dallas. The Dream, on the other hand, they lost to the Fever and the Mystics. They took down the Sky, the Lynx, and Dallas. So I'm going to take the Dream to continue winning. They're going to be excited to be at home. Their fans are going to be excited to see them there. Both of these teams tied for the lead at the top of their conferences. But I think the defensive factor here is what's going to win it for Atlanta, and they're going to be able to come out victorious. So I got the Dream winning their first home game of the year over the Aces. Then our next game is going to be the Indiana Fever taking on the Seattle Storm. The Storm are 1-2, 1-1 on the road this game. Also, Peacock and NBC, and 6 p.m. tomorrow. The Fever are 0-1 at home. They're 1-1 on the season. They're giving the Fever a 81.1% chance, 18.9% for Seattle. So we'll be at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. Seattle dealing with some injuries. Tina Mayer out on a coach's decision. Katie Lou Samuelson out on a knee injury. Ezzie McBegor out on a foot injury. Awa Pham out on a non-injury related basis. Indiana averaging 95.5 points, but giving up 92.5. They beat Nigeria, New York, and LA, but they lost to Dallas twice. Meanwhile, the Storm have lost to Toronto, Golden State twice, and took down Connecticut and Portland. I mean, I think this one's a little bit easier for me. One side has Kelsey Mitchell and Caitlin Clark, and the other side has, unfortunately, some players I don't know all that well. Dominique Malunga, who I do know, is very, very good. She's averaging 16.7 point 3 rebounds, and you got Jade Melbourne with 5 assists. But I'm going to lean with the predictor here, and I'm going to take the Fever to grab their first home win of the year and improve to 2-1 to try and keep up with the top of that Eastern Conference. The Chicago Sky, 2-0 on the road as well, will travel to take on the Lynx, who are 2-1 and 0-1 at home. The Lynx are without Nafisa Collier for who knows how long. It is an extended ankle injury. Dorca Juhasa out with a foot injury. Emma Chuhova out with a game-time decision with a knee injury. The Sky, Dejanay Carrington out with a foot injury. Courtney Vandersloot out with a knee injury. Azura Stevens out with a knee injury as well. The Sky are led by Rekia Jackson with 18.5 points. Camila Cardoso with 10.5 rebounds. Skylar Diggins, 7 assists, 1 turnover in 33.5 minutes of play. Olivia Miles, 16.3 points and 7 assists and just 2.7 turnovers in 30.3 minutes of play to lead the Lynx. And then Natasha Howard, 7 rebounds. They're giving the Lynx a 69.3% chance to win. The Sky just a 30.7% chance. This game will be at the Target Center. This is the first of three matchups between these two teams. The Lynx are a far better offensive team. Their one blemish of recent in their last five was to Atlanta. They took down Dallas, Phoenix, Toronto, and Nigeria. Meanwhile, the Sky, they beat Golden State and Portland, but they lost to the Dream, Phoenix, and New York as well. I'm going to take the Lynx here. I really like the Lynx. I've always been somewhat of a Lynx fan, and I really like when they play at home. Because they're very successful there, and I think that they're going to grab their first win here, even up their record at 2-2, and Olivia Miles is just next level. Our last game of the week is with a new team, the Toronto Tempo, who are 1-1, 0-0 on the road. First road game for them. We'll take on the Sparks, who are 0-2 and 0-2 at home. They're giving the Tempo a 26.3% chance to win, a 73.7% chance for the Sparks. Marina Mabry doing everything she can with 26.5 points to lead the tempo. Brittany Sykes, 5.5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers in 30 minutes. Kelsey Plum leads the Sparks with 26 points, 3 assists, 4 turnovers in 36 minutes. Aneka Ogumake, 7.5 rebounds. First of 3 matchups between these two. There's some injuries on both sides, but I'm going to go with the Sparks. They're at home, and, I mean, it's tough to play on the road, especially your first road game. So that gives me the Dream, the Lynx, the Sparks, the Fever, the Defenders, and the Stallions. Enjoy all the weekend sports. Tune in here on 95.3 The Ticket for your Tigers action. We'll be back next week with more Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.